flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Good morning, Metroplex. This is the Hump Day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby live on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We got Peyton Russell firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And be careful driving out there. It was a treacherous, treacherous drive-in, as Peyton warned us about an hour and a half ago coming in from Rockwall. Did anyone get woken up by the storms last night?
Nope. I hydroplaned driving in. That was fun. That was right there where 121 and 114 meet. I was merging into the lanes, and during that merge, the car kind of lost its handle for a sec.
It was pretty gross out. Now, we didn't get it woken up. I was out. I was tired. But, it was pretty bad driving in all over the place.
Yep. Hydroplaning, storms, felt like since 3 a.m. Pepe, were you fine?
I was fine. I mean, I didn't wake up in the middle of the night, but as soon as I woke up, you know, the rain was beating on the window there. The lightning thunder was coming through, and so I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those drives again.
I knew we had a problem last night when, as I'm going to sleep, it was, what time is it? It was like 10:30.
What were you watching? What did you post on your Instagram?
It's this great show with Ted Danson called The Man on the Inside, and I just thought that scene was funny. But Dan Brunoff, when I saw it at 10 o'clock, I had an email from him. I was like, well, that's not good. And so I opened it up, and he's like, nobody should have a problem with their commute unless you get up to drive at 4 in the morning. I'm like, okay, great. Well, that's around the time that we're going to be driving in, so that's awesome.
Well, the nightmare continues for Nico Harrison as T. Rainey, one of our top tolos, appropriately put it, Nico is officially in hell. He attended the SMU game. So I guess he feels comfortable and safe enough to go out to random college basketball games. He's attending the SMU game. They find him, they see him, and they start chanting "Fire Nico" right there as well.
Their ushers obviously don't work for the American Airlines Center because they appear to have stayed in their seats when they made that.
Would SMU have hired ushers, or would that just be people from like around the school? Like, would that be like a full time usher, or would that be different people that they could just hire from campus?
I don't know. They let me go up to Jerry Jones with a couple of beers when we went to that game one time.
Sounds like it's people from campus, though.
I really have no idea. At what point, and I don't know Nico's family setup, at what point do you be like, hey, we can't do this? Like, we can't even go out in public. That's what it is right now. I'm surprised he even made an extra trip and appearance out in public. And he got no breaks at the game.
Do you think he still believes he's like an anonymous figure? Because I don't know how often do you think he got recognized around Dallas just walking around before the trade?
Not a lot.
So I wonder if he just thought like SMU college kids, they're not going to know who I am. I can just kind of pop in on a game and people are going to be like, is that Nico? But they're not going to know.
I know now.
Well, now it's a thing, right? You feel like you have to continue the chant. You have to get involved. That's part of what the Mavericks did with this horrible PR backlash. They just ignited things. The Mavs have now turned their games into must-see for the stands. All the bloggers, all the people that Tim McMahon does not apparently like, their Twitter accounts are the number one thing to follow with this team for what fans are now going to do in the arena for the next time they're at the AAC. That's my opinion. It's like must see for fan interaction and conduct in terms of the policing. And we're going to get it again tonight at 8:30 with the Warriors in town and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they might have fewer chance tonight just because it's going to be so many Warriors fans, I would imagine, this evening. It's funny. One of the few times that I guess Mike Bacsik is willing to talk about basketball anymore, he did mention, he was like, well, it's going to be just a bunch of 11-year-olds in Curry jerseys on Wednesday night. So he's not going to have to worry about that.
Does Mike get on his kid, by the way? I think his kid was obsessed with Francisco Lindor. Did Mike, like, ban him or run him out of the house because he rooted for someone in a different jersey?
I mean, he certainly will now. I know that.
Like, Mike loves to lecture people on who to root for with his daddy playing for the Texas Rangers. So it was kind of an easy task for him. My dad's a major league player. I'm sitting here in a city of, 8 million people. Kind of easy. We got all four major sports right here. But his pops was on a major league team, but he loves to get on people for who they root for.
It doesn't, your kids don't.
You fall in love with a style.
You fall in love with a player.
You fall in love with a Luka Doncic. And you just say, what a great player. I love him. I want him on my basketball team forever.
Well, we got one of the medical updates we were waiting for on the Mavs big men. Daniel Gafford is out for 2 weeks.
Minimum. That's a reevaluation within the 2 weeks. They'll reevaluate and see where they are with him. That's the first sign that, all right, this is not great.
It's also crickets on AD. They provided the medical. This has to be over a month now because they haven't even provided an update. We got no explanation yesterday on why Jason Kidd was missing in the postgame press conference, but you updated Gafford and we got nothing on Anthony Davis. So we are now going on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 3 straight days without a follow-up update. This is why I put in a request to interview. The Mavs PR must be befuddled because normally the PR department does not get interview requests for them to come on. I remember I sat down and I just wanted to interview Rich Dalrymple one time in his office, not in a locker room. And I said, I just want to know what it's like to be the PR man for Jerry Jones. I want all the stories. I want all the drama. I want all the headache, all the controversy. And I want to talk to someone from Mavs PR. I don't even want anyone else. Well, I would take DeMont. I would take Nico. I would take Kid. After them, I want someone on from PR because they got the toughest job in town right
now. I've never heard a PR person give an interview.
Do you think the request goes in? Never.
Never. I don't even know.
Which is funny because in other jobs where you have a title like director of communications or something like that, they routinely do speak in interviews.
Like, I would want to interview Tad. John Blake has been on.
Yeah.
John Blake, legendary Rangers PR guy. I would want to interview Tad at some point in the near future, who is Rich Dalrymple's replacement for handling Jerry.
Yeah, and I bet Tad would come on. Like, I bet we could talk to Tad.
When? Not if you're here.
It depends.
2 weeks and 1 day from today. In Indianapolis,
yeah, like it depends on like what's going on.
Sure, if they're slammed or, but yeah, this one. I mean, to be fair, they may not have gotten back to you, Sean, because they may have a backlog of requests right now or a backlog of information that they're trying to run through.
So Chop was trying to do homework on the credibility of this media member. Someone by the name, is it Jerry?
I don't know if it's Gary or Jerry. I don't know.
Gery Gary Woeful, editor of Woeful's Press Box, Pro Basketball Writers Association Award winner, PBA winner, Lindy's Pro Basketball Magazine. So he's got some publications on there, and Chop checked in with some people that we trust, and they say he's okay.
They said if it happens with the Milwaukee Bucks, very plugged in.
All right.
So, I mean, if you want to like draw some comparisons to local, I mean, you go back in the day with like Eddie Sefko with the Mavericks or Stein, when Stein was here, just somebody very
Jerry Fraley with the Rangers.
Art Garcia.
Earl K. Sneed was more familiar with the DPD than the Dallas Mavericks.
The way the Mavericks are operating, they just bring Earl back to work for again, because that would be the next brilliant move that they make, putting that schmuck back into some type of role or responsibility. Here's the report. The Mavericks attempted to trade Luka to the Bucks and the Timberwolves. They reached out to Milwaukee, but the Bucks made it clear they would not trade Giannis, even though his future with the team is murky. As for the Wolves, it's only logical that any potential deal between the two would have included Anthony Edwards, their ascending 23-year-old superstar. So we had heard there was another team. I had been told, I didn't feel good enough to report it. I'm just telling you what was whispered to me in New Orleans. I have been told they checked in on Wemby. But again, I didn't go out and report that. But now we have the Bucks and the Wolves as possibilities.
So, like, is this one of these, like, hey, you're just having coffee? And you say, you
again?
Know, again. Because you know, I think anytime you get a team in town, you have a meeting GM to GM. Donnie Nelson done about the Porzingis trade, where it was like, it just started in a hallway at Madison Square Garden. And they were just like throwing things around. Like, what would it take to get Giannis? That you know, like in the Milwaukee thing. So it was like, oh, well, so what would your reaction be if I said, hey, we're gonna put Luka on the block? You know, you're just trying to gauge a market. I'm not selling my house right now, but I always answer the phone.
Yeah.
I always answer. It's like, all right, what do you got?
Yeah.
What do you got for me?
Surprise me.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of times happens with these general managers, because like, once the season starts, what the hell do you have to do before, if you're not making a trade, like, for the trade deadline, right? That's what you're doing.
Does this make you feel any different, a little bit better, Bob, that they at least inquired, according to this, with two other teams?
No, because the Bucks one, like, that was one of the names we kicked around of, like, who's one of the ones that you're not trading Luka for, no matter how bad that, like, and Giannis was one of the ones that were like, well, you probably don't trade Giannis. You probably don't trade Jokic. Like, those are probably the ones.
I mean, I can see them trading Giannis.
If you make a straight up trade, maybe. But like, I'm guessing they want Giannis and something, or they want like future capital. The Edwards one is interesting because it obviously doesn't speak to it. That makes it sound like if they would have reached out to the Timberwolves and asked for, and I don't know that it's a slam dunk that they asked for Anthony Edwards, because they got such a bad trade back that it's possible they didn't even ask for him. But if you asked for Anthony Edwards and Minnesota said no, then, I mean, at that point, you're looking around and going like, okay, well, I mean, I guess we can do AD and we don't want to widen the net anymore. But no, to me, it still is like, it should have been an open call. The whole league should have known that Luka was available, and the whole league should have been able to come with, hey, here's our offer. We'll best it. We'll do this, and worked it out that way.
If this is not true, they better hope this is true, because that makes you, it should make you feel a little more at ease. That, all right, you know what? At least they got, you know, kind of pushed back on.
I agree with you.
But
it's like, not going to matter to anyone.
It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter because, you know,
makes me feel a little bit better. They did a little bit of extra.
Which Nico
homework.
Insisted they only talked to, like, he publicly insisted, yeah, like, one team. That's it. That's the only team I called.
But also, there was no need to move him. Yeah, you can inquire about Anthony Edwards and Giannis and Wemby. And when they all, and those are all like fair trades, I think, you know, but when they all say no, you didn't have to go to, like, plan B, C, or D, right? You didn't have to go somewhere else. Like, you didn't have to trade him.
We also have the zoom-in shot from Patrick Dumont walking to his seat the other night with the mayor, and the boos rained down. Dumont gets to his seat, turns to the mayor, and appears to be being like, is that for me? He's, like, pointing back to himself, like, are they booing me? what's happening?
Is that how dense he is? Does he just not have any awareness of what people think of him right now? Or does he just think they, surely they don't recognize me, they must be booing the politician. They're booing the mayor. That's,
well, I could see maybe before his Dallas Morning News conference call came out, that was Sunday morning, I could maybe see on Saturday how he would be a little bit surprised, because we weren't cursing him so much. We were all just blaming Nico 100%.
Yeah.
After he opened his mouth on the conference call, a lot of the venom got directed towards him as well. But him getting booed, that was on Saturday before the audio came out. Because all we knew about Patrick Dumont up until that point is that he laughed at the trade. I was thinking, he laughed at the trade? He's being Mr. Hands-off? He's not being interfering owner like Jerry Jones? He's letting the general manager do his thing. But no, he was like, who, me? Really?
Oh, yeah, he had to wag his finger at Dallason's. Like, you don't. Talk to me about my basketball team. You don't do this or that. I will say, when that video came out, some of the replies underneath that were making me laugh, people just kept saying, like, they're like, he probably is thinking, like, they're not booing, they're saying Dumont.
That's right. Yes.
Dumont. The other thing that I was wondering, in that statement he made about working hard, what was the bigger crime? Mentioning Shaq or not mentioning Dirk? What a colossal mistake that was. He didn't even, Derek Collins was the first one I saw to be like, is he aware that Dirk Nowitzki played here?
No, he's not aware.
He was one of the all-time hard workers.
Because he doesn't.
You could have at least, you could have gotten 1 point of PR credit if you mentioned the Diggler and you didn't even do it, which plays more into what people have been whispering, that Dirk and the current new ownership don't have the best relationship.
Well, one of the criticisms of Jerry early on was, like, he drew a line in the sand between his players and the Landry players.
Oh, yeah. Landry era players publicly will still talk about how bad it was in the beginning.
Like, it took him decades to put Drew Pearson in the Ring of Honor. You know, like, just for, it took forever to get some of these. You know, Raphael Wright, it took him.
Bob Hayes.
Forever to get in the Ring of Honor. And, like, that really hacked off a lot of Landry era players. And there was just a line in the sand. And I don't know if it was, like, on purpose or he just didn't recognize them because he wasn't the owner. Like, Dumont is seemingly like you just got here. You barely know what's going on, and then you completely leave Dirk out of that.
How far away are the Cowboys from the world champions? Dak Prescott says it's now our turn. And how is Brian Schottenheimer's offense going to look? Hear the very latest from number 4 on the home of the Cowboys. Thanks for waking up with us as part of the 6 a.m. club. Be careful out there, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Just getting started on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How far away are the Dallas Cowboys from the world champion Eagles? Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt, as we take you inside the star on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm trying not to say America's team very, very often.
Why?
Why? I'll answer your why with my why.
Because, is that about...
It's a gloaty thing. It's like... Bragging about the Mavericks right now.
Very sociology question.
Yeah, we're America's team. You don't walk around beating your chest, pounding it with the way things have been around here. That's why. All right, you can do the intros from now on.
No, you made a point to say you're trying not to say it. I was just asking why you're trying not to say
it. That's why. We're America's team. We're America's team. Hey, look at us. Yeah, that's something to brag about. It's not. All right, so Dak Prescott and Troy Aikman were at their annual children's cancer event, and the reporters caught up with Dakota and asked him about that filthy gap.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close, especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And, as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see them, to see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
Yeah, things change fast, dude. And you lost 34-6 and 41-7 this year to them. That's not close. And
did Dak play the first game?
He didn't play either. The first game was Cooper's.
Yeah, that was Cooper Rush. But still, they were getting their ass handed to them this year by New Orleans, by Baltimore. Everybody was beating them down. And so, I mean, Atlanta was kicking their ass before Dak even went out. And so to me, it's just, I would prefer at
this
point.
He's 9-4 against them in his career.
Yeah, he's been good against them, but it's also again, things change fast with the entire makeup of the team, and they're not good enough right now. They're nowhere close to it. And
how far away? When you say nowhere close, let's get into that a little more.
I mean, the last time we saw Dak on the field was 12 weeks ago, and he literally was seen on the sideline mouthing, "We bleeping suck." So he doesn't believe that either. I get he's going to say whatever he's going to say because he's going to be, yeah, we're competitive. We're right there. I just wish instead he would approach with, look, we just got to worry about getting better right now. We can't worry about how much do we measure up against the Super Bowl winner? Clearly we don't right now.
Yeah.
So let's just worry about getting better, and then we can talk about this thing next year in 2025.
What would be the spread tomorrow on a neutral field? They
six
played
and a half.
Six and a half?
Probably something like that.
With five Dak and everybody?
Well, yeah, with that, five and a half, six, something like that. If Vegas puts the line between 4 and 6, they have no idea. They admit they don't know. So it'd be somewhere in there, I would imagine. They're not, when you're 7-10, every 7-10 team has playoff aspirations the next year. Every 11-6 team realizes that they're a couple of plays away from missing the playoffs the following year. You're not light years away.
Did you feel that was a legit 7-10 team, though? Or did you feel like that's a team that went 7-10 down the stretch and stole some games and you beat a Washington team that you weren't better than? I still feel like that was basically a 5-win team we watched last year. I felt they stole games to get to 7.
So if I asked you right now to pick, and you were more right than we were about their record, next year, what would you give them as their win total?
Before they make any moves, and I can see what they do, 7 or 8 wins.
7 or 8 wins.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think they're that far away from a double-digit win team that they've been before this year, three consecutive years?
Because I think they stole a couple wins even down the stretch where they were closer to a 5-win team. So, okay, Dak gets back, they're healthy. But, I mean, you're still going to be looking at installing a new defense for a third year in a row. You're going to be doing these different things and trying to make people work in certain areas. You're not going to have who knows what you're getting from Diggs? Who knows what you're getting from certain guys that are bouncing back? You're going to have changes on the offensive line. I still think that's a 7-win team right now.
I just think you got to be careful. And I think you got to separate the two. Dak's probably looking at it like, hey, I'm 9-4 against them. Like, we can definitely, the odds say Philly won't win the NFC East with that whole consecutive division streak that goes on year after year. I think you got to be careful saying, you know, we're 50-50 against them, so we can be the world champs, versus going through everything else and the whole struggle and path to pull that off.
It's also like, not the time.
Do you guys think that that quote was a little, do you think that that sound was, sounded delusional?
No.
I know you said what he had to hold back a little bit from being like, dude, I beat the Eagles all the time. I like that he threw in there, I'm not going to talk too much trash, they're holding the trophy and props to them. I didn't think it was very arrogant.
He has to believe. I'd be upset if he didn't believe this. Like, you know, it's, you don't want to hear him say it. And I'm sick and tired of this promise. I promise I'm never going to do that again. But
yeah,
he has to believe that. And if he doesn't believe that, he has no business playing this league.
The two things that turn into headlines from that is close and it's our turn.
That's,
you know,
like,
it's our turn. That's just a, that's a throw in line.
Yeah. I don't like the descriptor very close. Like, whether he's being kind of flippant or just, oh, I'm giving you media fill-in words while I'm sitting here talking, I don't like him saying very close. Again, I would have preferred it if the statement he says is like, look, we're not doing that right now. We obviously, we didn't even get to the postseason. Let's not talk about how close we are to the team that won every game in the postseason.
They never take that approach. Luca the other day, alongside Jaden Daniels, was like guaranteeing it was either the NFC East or the conference championship or the Super Bowl. He guaranteed one of them. I just don't listen anymore. It's in one ear and out the other. But they never take the approach of, look, guys, we don't need to be talking about any comparisons. We're an under 500 team. It's always, it's some Jerryism in there. Of selling positivity and hope.
Yeah, and I get when you're the quarterback, you're concerned maybe about like, okay, how's this being perceived? What message am I sending to guys in the locker room? How do I expect them to buy in on what we're trying to be? Blah, like, I guess, but again, to me, the whole thought is if you wanted to win people over with the thing, like, I mean, you were obviously not good enough that you had to make a coaching change, and like everybody's talking about, well, we got to change the culture, we got to do this, we got to do that. Like, clearly, you weren't that close last year.
Dak on his new head coach.
I think the best way to exemplify that is the son of a legendary football coach. He's not going to take anything about this game lightly. He enjoys the work in it, kind of old fashioned. I'm looking forward to the grind and some things that we're going to do and he's going to add, and excited for him. I know he's ready for it. He's been an assistant for a long time, and something else I admire is the way that he went on with the interviewing process. When you've been an assistant for 25 to 30 years, I know there's a quarterback coach, I know there's a receiver coach, a D coordinator, and a safety that you can call up without them thinking twice and they're going to come work for you. But for him to go through the due diligence of getting the guys in, interviewing them, and then taking it amongst the other guys that are there and making final decisions, I think speaks highly of his approach and the way that he's going to take care of things.
Yeah, okay. Like, I mean, like, at this point, like, what are we saying? Like, in general, in terms of the approach, you're going to say everything with the, like, oh man, I'm really positive, I'm really optimistic. That's where, to me, it's like, now it's not, nobody wants optimism right now. Like honestly, people just want sobering reality. You don't have to trash the team or anything else, but just say, like, look, yeah, we're all in it together. It's somebody, like, I like him a lot, you know, we're doing the, but, like, all we're worried about right now is just getting better. We have to get better.
Jimmy Johnson said they have to rebuild this offensive line. Dak Prescott has something to add to that with Schottenheimer's offensive changes.
Honestly, I mean, I think he spoke on it in the press conference, right? And then following this year, we've just got to get to running the ball, being a little bit more, you know, consistent on that. And then from there, go back and look at the numbers. I've always enjoyed play action pass, so just being able to get back to that. But you've got to start with the run game. And when you have that, the rest of the offense can open up.
Run game, play action pass. Of course, we all love to hear, when we hear shifts and motions, we all melt and get all giggly. Schottenheimer talked about that in the opening presser. So back to the run game emphasis.
It is wild how we just like, oh, shift and motion.
All you have to do to win a fan base. It's the easiest sports sell of any of the athletics. It's just say shifts and motions, and we're like, yes.
Because we don't know what the hell we're talking about. And we're like, oh, well, sure, it sounds great. A lot of movement. A lot of movement. Movement makes it think like it looks like you're working. It looks like you're working hard. That's why you always look annoyed. That's the old Costanza line. When your boss comes in, if you look annoyed, it makes it look like you're working harder than you actually are.
Schottenheimer, which when he's been a play caller, just factually, he has been ahead of McCarthy and all those things that have been mentioned, though. Shifts, motions, running the ball, play action passing, that's all higher. And the players, that is one of the big offensive gripes that players had when the McCarthy shift took over, when that change took over, was like,
pun intended.
Why are we not running more play action passing? That was something that I still don't understand why McCarthy hated it or didn't want to incorporate it nearly as often. But all that stuff about running the ball and the play action passing and the motion at the snap, motion before the snap, different sort of tweaks that they're doing, that is all stuff that Schottenheimer as a play caller has done at a higher rate than McCarthy.
And then finally, Dak talked about being coached tough. I was a little bit worried that McCarthy maybe didn't crack down and it was a country club environment and the guys just absolutely loved him. Was he cracking down? Was he coaching tough? Here's Dak on his relationship with Brian.
Naturally, it's kind of already happened. I know he alluded to, you know, the interception at practice and me giving it back to him. And, you know, it was a great moment of I understand and I appreciate that sense of standard is, we're not accepting one play to come out. But at my point, you know, hey, where did I get my risk versus reward? But that was a conversation that was very unpleasant at the front end. But it had to be addressed at some point or another. And it was immediately after practice. And it was two grown men coming to an understanding and appreciating each other for the competitiveness and the standard. And so I'm excited for things like that to grow. And not only just me in the quarterback position, but throughout every position on our team.
By the way, it is now official in New Orleans. Kellen Moore is the new head coach of the Saints. And he's looking to go back to the Chargers days for his DC.
Yep. This is, like the old boys network plays everywhere. And he is going to look to bring in Brandon Staley as his DC, which he was, he was not the DC when they won the title in with the Rams.
No, I don't think so.
I think he left just before then. But, I mean, he was a well-thought-of defensive coordinator at the time. So, like, this is normal, right? This is normal. Everybody around the league does this. They hire people they know.
Well, and I mean, again, I am in favor of, just like we talked about yesterday with Ken Dorsey, I am in favor of whenever you've got a guy who struggled at the elevation job that he was given, the job that he's given as a promotion, bounce him back down to where he has a track record of success and have him coach there again where he was once a hot name and rehab. A lot of times they come back humbled and they go, all right, this is my familiarity spot. I think Staley is a defensive coordinator. I would have accepted that here. I think Staley is a defensive coordinator hire is good.
And if you're a first-time head coach, like Shoddy has, you got to have a head coach in your staff.
Yeah.
A former one. You got to have somebody who's done it before.
877-881-1053 to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. Beat Chef tweeted, the Dak comment was really a CEO selling Kool-Aid. The number of fans that bought into what he said is everything Jerry does to the T. We got Credo saying nobody stole more games than Washington if you want to have that discussion.
By the way, there are a lot of people who will tell you with the Cowboys that Schottenheimer is, it's one of two coaches, Schottenheimer and Nussmeier, that have had the credibility with Dak to be able to tell him, like, sit your ass down. And, like, he'll, all right, fine. And they'll good. Work it out later.
How many people actually turned off the Super Bowl? And it's a good thing, apparently, we did not spend more time on Bourbon Street. We may have gotten into a fight with Pat Mahomes' dad or this former major league pitcher. That's next. Hump Day Edition continues on 105.3 The Fan. 127.7 million people watched that horrible, horrible blowout of a Super Bowl. A 3% increase over last year's record audience. The halftime show hit a record high as well of 133.5. So even though the game was atrocious, one of the all-time worst that we can remember, the numbers through the roof, RJ.
Through the roof. It's like most watched, like ever, of anything. Most watched halftime show.
That record had stood for a while.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
That was Michael Jackson at the first Jimmy-era Cowboys Super Bowl in Pasadena.
Now, there's a new way of calculating this as well with the ratings. We're not going to get on all the nerdy.
Yeah, they just basically know how to count streaming platforms more than they have in the past.
So, like,
but your theory, if true, you were like, you said you had noticed a lack of Super Bowl parties. If more people were at their homes like us, that could be more viewership.
Could be. It could be. I mean, now, like, if you have, let's just say, like, 30% of all Super Bowl viewers watch the Super Bowl at a party. And there were even 5% fewer parties this year. You know, that means that you're still going to watch the game. Now you're just going to watch it at home. And if those, if enough of those people have one of those register boxes for the TV ratings, that would boost the Super Bowl number.
Well, and so that's part of the way that they've figured out a way to boost numbers is that they are, Nielsen is now counting people who view a game at bars, restaurants, and airports. And so that was a change where now it's like, oh, well, you're projecting how full was the bar? How many people could have been watching at the bar? And this and that. And so now it just opens up these massive numbers when you count all of those TVs.
Record number of bets in an empty Las Vegas?
The Vegas was empty, but Vegas also had...
Not from Charles Barkley. Barkley said for like 20 straight years, he flies his 12 best friends to Vegas. They play golf every day. They go watch the game in the book. And depending on how much Charles wins or loses... determines who pays for what on the trip. And Charles bet big and big time on an Eagles blowout. So he cleaned up.
Okay, so casino execs were baffled by Super Bowl weekend falling off a cliff. Like you were getting, these hotels were losing money each day.
Which is, again, kind of the analogy and the parallel to people not going out, but a record number of bets, record viewership, but maybe less parties.
Less parties, not going out. Not going to Vegas. Also, you know, we really now are, a lot of states have sports books now. So you don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
You don't have, you can bet on your phone. You can bet everywhere. You don't have to go somewhere. But this is a record betting Super Bowl. Super Bowl was the single biggest betting event in the history of BetMGM. It took in the most bets and the most single game results in company history. DraftKings said they have over 12 million bets placed in the game with 2.5 million users. So each person's betting about four bets per user for this game. So
wow.
You get the game, you get the under or the over. Maybe you get a money line bet. You got a couple of prop bets. So we are talking about a mega, mega bet. And a lot of this money was on the Chiefs at some of these places. So they cleaned up the sports books.
Yeah, it was the total in Nevada was 22.1, which is $3 million over the most ever that they've won. The most they'd ever won was on the Seahawks Super Bowl. And so this was, everybody was betting on the inevitability of the Chiefs.
Stephen A. Smith took issue with the halftime show.
He had an issue with Serena. He had an issue with Serena dancing at the halftime show. And I think this is a great question to pose.
And that was a shot at Drake as I'm continuing to uncover the meaning of the Kendrick halftime
Absolutely.
Show for you three dip S's out there who are like, oh, what is all you guys have something in common. You didn't like the show. Wonder what it is. Call me racist.
Oh, God. You is the lowest common denominator. Like this, that's just not, that can't be the go-to. That just can't be the go-to.
I wonder why. I wonder why.
And like, you know, like not everything's a conspiracy theory to the other side of that.
And that's you saying that.
Yeah. Not everything's a conspiracy theory. Like, can we just have one event where there isn't a conspiracy theory out there?
It's like the RJ Choppy rule of television. Like, I want to turn my brain off. Amanda said this, and she loves Kendrick Lamar. She's like, I don't want to have to think during the halftime show and decipher. Good for Kendrick, whatever messages he was sending. If it came across as the artistic, creative genius, cool. I just was bored by it. I didn't understand it. It was above my head. I'm not that, you know, I don't know hip-hop like Bobby does or other people in the building. I freely admit it. It doesn't mean I'm wearing a white pillowcase while watching the game.
Yeah. Can you spell hip-hop, though?
Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like, just tell me. I don't like subliminal. Just tell me what I'm watching. Just tell me. Just tell me what I'm watching beforehand.
Sometimes Easter eggs are really cool.
Yeah, when they have candy in them. All right, that's when they're really cool. Other than that, just tell me what I'm watching. Like, I'll get it. Just tell me. Tell me ahead. Like, there really should be like a.
You knew some of that. You knew it was a PlayStation controller.
I knew it was
though.
PlayStation controller.
Right.
All right. I didn't put the Sony together.
It's like me calling you an idiot if you don't understand like how to sous vide something. That's what I run the parallel to. I didn't know all the Kendrick insights in the background. Oh, you don't know how to sous vide a steak? You shouldn't be breathing.
Which
so,
I bet
have a pulse.
I bet that's an issue for Kendrick too. Is like for Kendrick going like, to
well, not apparently with these record numbers.
No, but you know what I mean. Like he's probably trying to decide artistically, like how much do I lean into what got me here
yeah.
versus how much do I make something that's for the masses. Yeah. Like, that's probably a struggle.
Sure. So, you know, like, so Serena's there dancing. And
see walking.
She had a relationship
is
in the past.
Walking? Yep.
Okay. In the past.
With see? Don't doubt my credit.
She had a relationship in the past with Drake. And apparently they're still friendly. But Stephen A. took issue.
Yes. We've seen it. We know why they're friendly.
Yeah. Stephen A. took issue with her even being there to begin with for a reason that didn't even cross my mind.
If I'm married and my wife is going to join trolling her ex, go back to his ass. Because yeah. clearly you don't belong with me. What you worried about him for and you with
no,
me?
I got to get that leak back.
But, hey, go ahead. I see him, sir.
Stop it.
What? What?
Stop it, Stephen A.
This is true.
If you with Serena Williams, you're gonna be a kept man anyway.
Ooh.
I agree with him.
I do too. I didn't want to at first when I first saw it. I was like, this is, and I thought about it. I was like, no, yeah. I'd be mad too. Never mind.
Don't you always have that conversation with that one friend? It's like, why are you still worried about what your ex is doing? Why you continuing to bicker about it and gossip about it? It's bugging you. Something is clearly bugging you about yeah. it. I would have a problem. I think Serena is married. I'd be like, why did you feel like you're Serena Williams? You don't need the fame. You're going up there to get back at Drake. I agree with Stephen A.
Her husband did say, like, he came out, like, posted on social media, like she was killed for doing this at, I don't know if it was at Wimbledon or the French Open or whatever, where she did the dance. And the tennis world, like really chastised her for it.
Oh, man. So all the snobs at Wimbledon knew what crip walking was.
I don't know.
They threw their strawberries and cream to the side.
Oh, my God.
She claims that's why she wanted to do it. Was more for the, no, it was sticking it, like, that's what Kendrick Lamar wanted, but what I wanted was more is sticking it to Wimbledon and the
to
way,
the British?
Or to the Olympics or whatever, like when I went out there and performed and how people got so mad, it was more like, all right, fine, well, I'm going to do it on a national stage and pay homage to these Compton roots.
877-881-1053, Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line.
Yeah, it's it is one of those, like, I think I see what Stephen A. is saying. Like, you're right. We all have that one friend. Like, what are you still worried about?
Right.
Now, I don't know if the roles are different when both parties are, like, super famous and everyone's in their business anyway. You know, like, do relationship dynamics change when you're Serena Williams? I'm sure they're different, but still, it looks like you're still worried about it.
Good thing we were only on Bourbon Street for about a night because we dodged the fireworks. We have the Bourbon Hustler and John Rocker versus Mahomes' dad. This video came out. Mahomes' dad looks like he's smoking a cigarette on the sidewalk with his sweatshirt. John Rocker comes out of the bar, and they're getting into it. John Rocker's massive, by the way.
He
would have twisted Mahomes up into a pretzel.
He's huge.
Yeah, and we know he's angry. And he ended up, like, throwing his drink.
And probably doesn't like Pat Mahomes.
What's that?
And he probably doesn't like Pat Mahomes.
No, he probably anyway. Does not like Pat Mahomes.
Probably doesn't like Jackson.
He probably doesn't like either of them.
He probably doesn't like New Orleans. Yeah. So, Rocker, I think he's trying to say he just made a joke, and he's like, you took the joke the wrong way. It looked like John came out to the street, and he's like, yo, man, chill out. Like, it's just a joke. And Mahomes Sr. was not happy. I'm glad that Pat Mahomes Sr. decided to hide in his hotel. Yeah. Him going out in public is about as smart as Nico Harrison with all the DWIs he gets.
I really hope this was setting up a celebrity boxing event or something like that. Like, that's my hope. Like, otherwise, why are these two has-beens out there bickering with each other? Like, why is John Rocker at the Super Bowl?
Right.
I get why Pat Mahomes is.
I mean, everybody's at the
Super Bowl. Well, Trump was there. Rocker tweeted, this effing loser can't take a damn joke. Wish I laid him out right there and ruined his BS weekend even more. Mahomes Sr. wrote back, you really haven't changed one bit in the last 25 years. Keep my name out your loud mouth. And then John called him a lanky ass clown and said, he's lucky he got away. I would have rocked him.
Ah. So,
what about the Bourbon Hustler?
So this is the Bourbon Street Hustler, the Telemundo Super Bowl reporter.
Someone sent me a message about this story while we were out there. I had no idea what they were talking about.
So Adam Manzano, 27, he works for Telemundo Kansas City. He was in town to cover the game. And he was found dead in his New Orleans hotel room. And a previous victim of this suspect, her name is Danette Colbert, or Colbert. I mean, I assume it's Stephen Colbert, right? She is referred to as the Bourbon Street Hustler. And she goes around drugging these men, putting something in their drink, and like basically escorting them to a hotel room where she robs them blind. And then she'll like take photos and like try to blackmail them. So this one guy, David Butler, he's 52. He met her in 2021, and she like wound up like taking like $80,000 of crypto out of his account, gone. And it kept going on. Like, she kept doing this. So he kept tabs on her, and he was able to find that she is the one that drugged this Telemundo reporter. Whoa. The guy wound up dying in his hotel room. So like,
how did she get into his crypto account?
I don't, maybe you're drugged. Now, she didn't expect the guy to have cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
So the guy that was drugged, she was like able to, you know, talk to him and finagle his way to get his password. It's like almost like a truth serum or something.
And
like that.
Other people have come out and like relayed similar stories. Yeah. Of this girl just walking up and down Bourbon Street, drugging people. This guy died.
And then she got caught by using his credit card. This Adam Manzano.
See, that's why Chop didn't want us to just abandon the ladies night at the bar. Yeah. He's like, you never know where the Bourbon Street Hustler is going to come and snatch the girls
that's
up.
That's right. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks for being part of the 6 a.m. Club with the Hump Day Edition.
Hump Day.
Continuing on DFW Sports Station. Is this sport the next one to be in trouble? Why did Canelo cancel? Are we going 18 games now in the National Football League? And imagine if this happened around here, a team telling their superstar, no more radio. Those headlines and a college baseball ticket giveaway after this.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.